the preaching ministry of Redeemer Fellowship in Eugene, Oregon. And now, here's today's message from God's Word.
I want to start with a story, personal story. So I remember it was, for me, a dry, mild day. It was the middle of spring, and it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, and I was working this farm in Payette, Idaho, and I remember the morning being consumed with branding and castrating cattle, and it was, for a 12-year-old, the rugged type of work that leaves your body, entire body, strained. I also remember being disappointed that at lunchtime, the salami sandwiches were Genoa and not hard salami. And when I had closed my eyes this week, just trying to remember this moment, it felt somewhat like a dream to me. I do remember at lunchtime climbing this hillside right next to the farm. I remember there were some sparse clouds painted in the sky. I remember looking out in the fields below me were bright browns and subtle greens, as you would expect in spring in Idaho. And I remember seeing the grass dance like it was commanded by the breeze. And I couldn't tell you at the time, but the feeling that possessed me was that everything meant more. And I remember thinking, I don't ever want this to end. If there was, in my recollection, just a way to describe that moment in my life, I would call it a whisper of home. And then, back to work. There it goes. That memory that binds to my spirit is something like an echo of a real world. And that's a true story. I don't know if I've told that to anybody. It's a part of my story. And now I've come to know that it's a story that fits into another story, a much bigger story. A bigger story with a beginning that reaches far beyond my beginning. It's a story with a villain greater than any villain in my own life. There's a loss in that story, deeper than my own losses. And in this great story, there's a hero greater than any of my contrived heroes. That is the story of Advent. Now, story is a peculiar thing. We humans, we are creatures of story. And that might be a little more difficult for us in the West to get that because we tend to be more linear and less story-oriented. But we need, as humans, we need stories to make sense of our stories, to make sense of our lives. Without the context of story, we're actually paralyzed by any sort of meaningful decision that we make. So we, as humans, we need to identify with a hero and we need to identify with a villain. And we need to know, where do we fit in this story? How do we move forward? And so story, it informs and shapes what we do when we wake up. It shapes what career path we will make, whom we will marry, and what sort of promises we're going to make. So here's an example of this. Let's take the Charlie Kirk assassination, okay? When Charlie Kirk was assassinated, we actually noticed all these narratives quickly attaching to this event. And we get this from the news a lot. Because we had to make sense of it. We were left confused and trying to understand, what is this? And what does it mean for me? So we either saw a narrative of Charlie as this up-and-coming champion of the right. He's an advocate for the truth. He's advancing good in the world by way of open dialogue and conversation on college campuses and persuading people. And we saw the villain as a certain leftist extremist who hated what was good and motivated to silence the truth. That's one narrative. And then there's another narrative. There's another story. Charlie as a champion of power and control, trying to end women's rights and further the oppression of minority communities, of Hispanics, Blacks, immigrants, LGBTQ+. So in this framework, Charlie's actually the villain. And the hero is the one who put an end to his tyrannical conquest. Two stories. As a result, the story would also force us to evaluate, well, which side am I on? That story invites us into it, and we have to decide whether we're on the hero or the villain side. And consequently, the responses would look different depending on which narrative you believe. You would either mourn his death in prayer and tears, and perhaps some to take up arms, or you would make TikTok videos dancing in celebration of his assassination. Two different responses, two different stories, one event. That is the power of story. It shapes us and it moves us into action. So what of this big story we call human history, the story of humanity? Is there a great narrative that lies over our existence? If so, how would that story change the way we understand our individual stories, our lives? How would that story shape each one of you? Let's dive into it this morning and in the weeks to come. This story that we're going to look at, it starts in a garden. In the climax of the story, we see another garden. And we see the story ends in a garden. In between, we see a story of loss and of longing, a story of hope and a hero, a story of home. That is the story of Advent, the arrival of Jesus. So let's go to Genesis 2. We're going to read the beginning of this story in verses 5 through 9 and launch from there into see the big story that God has written for us to know and to be a part of. Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Genesis 2, starting in verse 5. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Father, now as we just are an audience to your telling, to your story, to your news, we long to hear you speak. You must speak. You must speak. We ask you to speak. And the echoes of our time this morning would resound with us into the week and the weeks to come, indeed, into all of our lives, that this news and this story that you have told would be with us forever, that we would stand firm in it, be saved by it, and hold fast in faith to it. Show us the hero this morning. Bind our hearts to yours. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is Advent? Advent is a term from Latin that it describes this particular season, mainly in December, though it is the last day of November. It leads up to Christmas. And the word Adventus, it means arrival or coming. The arrival of Jesus. And in this Advent season, we want to be able to hear the echoes of our origin that we just read in Genesis 2. It says something in all of us. Advent is a story that helps us make sense of our collective story as humanity and our individual stories, each one of us in our own lives and our unique situations. So we've heard people like Elon Musk. He tries to make sense of this collective story as well when he talks about the purpose of humanity and the collective consciousness. He talks about that a lot. That's why he wants to go to Mars. These have been the inquiries of human beings throughout all the ages since the beginning. We have always asked the same questions. Who are we? Who are we created for? What were we created for? And what on earth am I doing here? What are we as humans doing here? And I would bet that many, if not all of you, have asked the same questions. Who am I? What was I created for? What on earth am I doing here? Those are the echoes of humanity. And the Advent story answers those. How? We go back to the beginning. The Advent story doesn't begin in Bethlehem. The Advent story begins in Genesis. And we saw in Genesis 2, God made man. And the man was good because God breathed his own life into the dust and formed this man. He's unlike all other creatures because he is made in the image and the likeness of God. And then God took from man's side and he breathed into the man's side and formed a woman. And she was good, both made in the image and likeness of God, dignified, unique, intelligent, moral, and pure. And in the first wedding the world ever knew, God brought the woman to the man, walking his daughter down the aisle, where they were joined as one flesh in covenantal love. And the man saying, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So there they were, man and woman, in the place of God's reign in the Garden of Eden, innocent and pure under God's perfect rule. They were with God, and God was with them. That was very, very good. That's our origin. That was home. And it now only remains an echo that resounds into every single heart that is sitting here this morning. You think of story, any good story at least, a good story has to be interrupted. That the good has to be knocked off kilter. You think of this even in your own lives, you have a series of highs, like things are going really, really well, and then they go bad, and then they get worse. In the origin of the Advent story, there is a serpent hating everything that's good about God and all that images this perfect God. With his forked tongue, he comes and deceives the man and woman into disobedience with God and breaks covenant with him. The one restriction God gave man: you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And you know the story. They ate. They didn't trust God's goodness for him. They believed God was withholding something good. I've got to have it my way. And in the one act of sin, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. This was the catastrophic disruption in the story. Everything off kilter. In one act of disobedience, not only did sin infuse itself into everything that we see in the created world, but sin infused itself into every heart that is born. Everyone. This broke our togetherness with God. You talk about loss. For the first time, humanity was corrupted. For the first time, humanity knew shame. For the first time, humanity was exposed. And so our first parents tried to cover it up. It was no good. They knew they were naked and they were ashamed. And as a result, this beautiful paradise that they called home, they lost. Kicked out of the garden, exiled from Eden, where they were to die. God now far from us. So do you ever feel this lostness? Have you ever felt this lostness? Have you ever felt that something is always missing? We are in this story. Are we not? The origin of the Advent story speaks to our individual stories. Listen to the echo of Eden, and you and your story will make sense. We can make sense of the longing that we feel. I can now make sense of what that awakening was in me at 12 years old on that Payette hillside. We can make sense of why is it that though I have so much good in my life, I still don't feel at home. Because God has put eternity into the heart of man. Ecclesiastes 3:11. There is a sense, and you all know it to be true, of something bigger, something other, something outer, something beyond you that you were created for, and a void that no created thing, food, sex, money, career, could ever satisfy. God knows you have tried in your life to find it. It's so amazing, the providence of God. Gideon and I told you before, are reading through Mere Christianity, and his chapter on hope was our assignment this week, and in it, he writes this. Most people, if they had really learned to look in their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. If I find in myself a desire that nothing in this world could satisfy, the only probable explanation was that I was made for another world. That's the echo of Eden. And in it, we hear our story of our sin, of our disobedience to God, of our exile, of our loss of home. Living outside of a garden, always seeking the fruit or the things of the earth as though they can bring us back home, sort of like Dorothy clicking her heels in The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. More money. There's no place like home. More women. There's no place like home. Another job. There's no place like home. I can't get it. Why can't I hold on to this? We long to arrive back. The origin story of Advent also helps us make sense of our own sins and desires, the whole array of our ambitions. And so, what is sin? Sin is this: God stands before each and every one of you, and he says, "Come to me, the fountain of living water," Jeremiah 2:13. That is his call all the time. Come to me. I'm the fountain of living water. And we say, no, thank you, God. I would prefer my own things because I think those things can bring me home. I prefer my anger. I prefer my possessions. I prefer it my way. I want my fruit without you. So we build careers to make a name for ourselves. Maybe that'll get me home. We seek a lover. Maybe she will get me home. We chase the dollar or the bag or buy the car or the new girlfriend or go on another vacation or seek more attention or get another degree, more clout, more power, more status, groping and grasping like trying to capture an echo in a jar. Click the heels, bring me back home. And none of those things can ever keep their promise. We are looking for God, as the song says, in all the wrong places. Every sin speaks, "I'll take your fruit, God. I don't want you." And Jeremiah 2:11 says, "This is a great evil." This is a great evil. This is the essence of our sin. This is what is in here, in the heart of humanity, in the heart of you and me, where we hear the echoes of Eden. The origin story of Advent also helps us make sense of our shame. Why do we hide? Why is it we conceal so much? Why is it so difficult to tell the truth? Why is it hard to look somebody else in the eyes? Why is it hard to lift our head? Why is it so difficult to confront my turbulent past in my own story? What would that say about me? Why do we only put up our best pictures on Instagram? We are ashamed. Like our first parents, we are ashamed. We are afraid that our blemishes will be exposed if we step out of the darkness and into the light. We hear the echoes of Eden when God calls to you. Where are you? That's why we're ashamed. So we see in all of this that this origin story of Advent, what it really says about our stories, God is far from us. God is away from me. We are lost, and we all know this to be true. There has been a breaking and a separation, just like our parents, in our togetherness with God because of our sin, because of my sin. And this has consequently brought the breaking and separation of my body and soul when we all will die. Death reigned. Death came to all men because all sinned. We will die. In the origins of the Advent story, we feel this cloud of darkness overshadowing any sort of light that would guide us back home. And we are left with this longing, an echo of home, like on that Payette hillside. And in this story, the villain is sin. The villain is death. The ending seems bleak. The outcome is shame. And there seems to be no way back home. And then a light breaks in. And a voice calls, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Enter the hero of this story. An angel appeared to Joseph, son of David, and said, "Do not fear to take Mary, this virgin, as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, not from Adam. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from the devil, from their sins." And a week after Jesus would be born, one man named Simeon knew what this meant for you and for me. And he would take Jesus in his hands and bless God, saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and for glory for your people Israel." Light came into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The hero would live as you and I should have lived, in perfect togetherness with a perfect God, perfectly obedient under his perfect rule. Jesus would have no sin, yet then he would take my sin, my guilt, my shame, and my death, and he would bear it upon his own back. He would take up his cross and he would be nailed to it in my place. And it is there that my enemy, my sin, would die. And 3 days later, Jesus would be raised, and I too to be raised with him. Joy to the world. What a hero. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Emmanuel, God is now with us. The Advent story, it's a story about a hero that came to save me from my great enemy, sin and death. And this is how his story speaks to your story, because you see, your greatest villain in your story is not that you've lost a job. It's not that you've lost a spouse. It's not of your turbulent history. It's not of Satan. That's not the greatest villain. The devil cannot condemn. Our sin condemns us. And Satan knows that, which is why he's left only to accuse you of your sin. This is why many of you may struggle here. You often hear the echoes of your accuser repeating over and over again, remember you lied? You're a liar. Remember you cheated on your wife? You're an adulterer. Remember you slandered? You're a spiteful gossip. And in despair, these echoes of a true home only grow more faint in the past, where we can't even hear it with no hope, because we are consumed with accusation and we stand condemned. But then the Advent story says, as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, that's us, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. As sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our hero. Welcome home, saints. Welcome home. The Advent story speaks to your story, because in the advent of Christ, he bought your forgiveness. In the advent of Christ, he buried your shame. In the advent of Christ, he brought you back home. Finally, God is with us. God as our ruler, God and his people, God as our forever place, never to be broken in our togetherness with him. In the echoes of Advent, we hear God's invitation. And what was for me an echo of Eden in that 12-year-old boy on a Payette hillside was really an echo for a country I had not visited yet. And the Advent story has now made clear to me that what I was longing for was home. A home that I could never get back to. And so home came to me. What a hero. The echo of Advent now invites every single one of you. Advenit, come. Come. Come home. All who are thirsty, come. Drink of the living water, come.
We trust today's message has ministered to your soul. If you would like to support the ministry of Redeemer Fellowship, you can find us at www.redeemereugene.org/give. Or if you prefer, you can mail your donation to Redeemer Fellowship, 1210 Chambers Street, Eugene, Oregon, 97402. Until next time, may you be deliberately devoted to making Christ known.